Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Hallelujah. Praise God. We give a praise, O God. Hallelujah. You're welcome in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. This is the day that the Lord has made. We rejoice and we are glad in it. Praise God. Go ahead and begin to magnify the Lord and give him glory. Let's 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 thank him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Mambra shata legede kolo zulabada. Abaraga delegede soprokoti yala kadi basa leda ba. Hallelujah. Praise God. We thank you, Father, for gathering us together again. And we thank you, Lord. 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 We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. How excellent your name is in all the earth. Heaven and earth cannot contain you. How much more this house where we bring glory to your holy name. But we thank you, Father, because you are the mighty God. And we give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's go ahead and bless him. Let's go ahead and give him glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We bless you, Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, I want to welcome everybody in the name of Jesus Christ. And we trust God for such a great time today as we listen to God's word. So I ask that you keep your heart open. And I ask you to prepare to receive from the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, so today I'm going to be sharing very briefly with us. I believe this is something that will bless someone. Hallelujah. This is a word that will be very simple, but very direct. Hallelujah. So I titled this message, Why the Word of God Must Have Free Course. Why the Word of God Must Have Free Course. Okay, and this was a meditation that was just upon my heart, sometime today. And I began to consider some of the challenges that believers experience with relation to interacting with the Word of God. Sometimes we may assume that simply because someone is born again, it means that the word of God will be fruitful or will bring forth fruit in that person's life. But reality has shown that that is not the case. In fact, much of the times, many believers don't even live very different lives from those who are not even in Christ. So, I say this because I want us to consider a few things. So, like I was sharing with you, sometimes the way it works for me is I just begin to think and I ask questions. If you don't ask questions, you will lack depth. It doesn't matter what field you are in. You know, for you to gain mastery, you must be a man of questions. So, I was asking questions. Why is it that a lot of believers are in church? Why is it that a lot of believers hang around God, but we don't seem to get the kind of results that we know. One of the answers that came to my heart is that it is because the Word of God does not have free course. There's a restriction. You know, it's as if the Word of God is trying to flow freely, but there's always something in our minds, there's always something in our hearts that seems to struggle with the Word of God. So if God says, look, I'm going to provide for you, take a step of faith. Most of the times, as believers, we want God to prove himself first before we can say, oh, I believe. But really, God doesn't work that way. God will not work until he finds somebody on this side of eternity who agrees with him before certain things are done. So this is very, 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 very important. And I want you to please, as I share with you this evening, I just want you to please think along with me. You know, I want you to think along with me and let's see how far that we can go. Praise God. So I want to read, first of all, from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. The Word of God says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. It's amazing that Apostle Paul here was not even talking about the Word of God gaining free course for unbelievers, as he first meant or referred to the Word of God having free course in their own lives, in their ministries, in their assignment. You cannot change a person's life with a message that has not first changed your life. Paul said that the Word of God requires prayer. So that, see, Paul is saying here that regardless of the best of intention that we may have, regardless of how we mean to do well, without prayers, it is possible that we may stumble at the Word of God even after it has been revealed. So when God reveals his will to our hearts, when God speaks to us and says, oh, this is what I want to do in your life, then what God is saying is that we must come back to the place of prayers as a mark of humility, that which God has said, he would fulfill. And Paul said, look, even when it has to do with the Word of God, you cannot come in as a carnal believer. Now, I'm not even referring to unbelievers now. I'm just talking about Paul. And Paul said, look, there is a kind of fruit that God is looking for every time the Word of God is administered. And I will show you in that scripture that every time a believer or someone hears God's word, there is something God is actually looking for in that particular person. Look at that scripture again. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, it said, my brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. That means every time God's word gains an entrance into my life, what God is looking for is glory. He's looking for the divine nature to be revealed, to be well manifested. Hallelujah. It's looking for the nature to be manifested. This is very, very important. So I'm going to share a few points, about maybe 8 or 9, or if we have enough time, we're going to do 10, on why the word of the Lord must have free course. Because if, as a believer, I don't even know why I must pray against satanic hindrances to the word of God. If, as a pastor, or as somebody who is trying to share the gospel, I am unable to see the importance of what I do. Or maybe you're a believer in your office or in your school, you are unable to see the relevance of what God has put in your heart for the people, you will not understand the role and the power that prayer would bear. So this is very, very important. And I want you to please pay attention to me. Because many believers are unfruitful in the word that God has spoken to them. Many believers are waiting to see a manifestation before they believe, oh, you know, God has done. And that's why in the demonstration of the gift of faith, when we pray and ask that people be healed, we encourage them to release their faith, to exercise their faith for their miracle. And that's why you will find that when Peter and John prayed for that minister to that brother who was crippled for 38 years, they didn't just pray for him and say, be healed. They lifted him and pulled him up. It was when Peter pulled him up that he discovered that that man was healed. If that man had said, amen, in Jesus' name we have prayed, and the man did not attempt to get up, that man would still not have been healed, even though the healing was in his body. Now, another thing is that even if that man was healed, because he had been in that state for so long, it could be challenging for him to exercise his faith because, I mean, you have been in a particular state for 38 years. So he required an external help. He required an external push, someone to assist him. And that is where the role of corporate prayer, praying for one another, becomes important, because many times the faith of your brother can help push yours. Hallelujah. And these things are very important. They seem very basic. A lot of believers know them, but they don't really know the power that these things actually bear. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and share with you about 10 reasons why the Word of God must have free course. Number one, the Word of God must have free course because the hearts of men are hardened. And only the work of the Holy Spirit can break through such hearts. Please go ahead and write in your note. And I want you to please think along with me, meditate as we listen to this exhortation. Number one again is the hearts of men are hardened. And only the work of the Holy Spirit can break through such hearts. Some people just, no matter what you say, no matter what you do, they don't want to associate with God. They don't want to. Their hearts are so hardened. They have all the reasons why. Why God is not an issue. Why God is not important. Some even ask, if God is free, let him come and visit me this night. Okay? So people have found their way, some maybe through experiences or through science. People's hearts have become so hardened that there is no room for the possibility of divinity to exist. So when you want to minister to those kind of people, you cannot do it without first praying. That your friend that is in your office or in your around your house, your neighbor, in your neighborhood, who doesn't seem to be interested in Christ, does not first need the word of God. That person needs prayer first. I don't know if somebody is listening to me now. That person you are trying to share the gospel with, and you know this person is seriously hardened, such a person does not require the word of God first. He requires prayers. Prayers need to be said for him so that his heart can be softened by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we have a lot of people whose hearts are hardened. We even have believers who come to church and they decide the kind of message they want to listen to, the one they want to obey. In fact, there are people that will never give a fat offering except you promise them some unusual miracle. That is one level of giving. Another level of giving is when you tell God, I love you so much, there is nothing too difficult for me to do. In fact, I tell you another level of giving is that you look yourself in the mirror and you tell yourself, from today, I will not give anything less than the highest currency of the country where you belong to. Anything less than that. Again, the moment you make that kind of a decision, the heavens will note it, grace will be released. So don't let your relationship be with God be like something that, except there's a promise, of some emergency or supernatural kind of miracle before you give your best. God likes people who do things without being forced. God loves people who are cheerful givers. Not just in the area of giving, in the area of soul winning, in the area of inviting people, for instance, to church. There are certain people that you know in your offices, in your Uber, you meet them while, you know, your Uber drivers. You meet people, you may not really have all the time, you know, to invite them to be able to share the gospel with them, but you can invite them to church. Actually, it is a Christian duty. It is a Christian duty. So, but when people don't know that these things are important, people think God is just there to meet their needs. Those are the traits of a hardener. Maybe I will come back and I will do a short teaching on how to know if your heart is hardened. Maybe that will be another. So you can just, you don't need to pray, just check the list. So when you find yourself that your heart is hardened, you are not inclined to, to spiritual things, that could be a sign that you need prayers. And when you have friends who are also on that divide, you need to be able to reach out to them in prayers, not just sharing the word of God with them. Number two, the word of God does not have free course because Satan continues to distract men so that they are not able to discern the word of God when it comes to them. Listen to me. Distraction is one of Satan's most powerful weapons. It gets him a lot of results where even demons fail, where even principalities fail. How many of you would just imagine that some period you are just thinking, oh, let me just concentrate myself to God, let me just do this, let me just wait on the Lord. Then they tell you, oh, there's a new film in town. You got to log on to Netflix and you got to watch it. And then you notice that you are doing more Netflix during your fasting than prayer. Or some period you are just trying to, like, oh, I want to, you know, be more consecrated. I want to be faithful in my relationship with God. And this guy comes to your office who looks too good to be true. This guy just shows up, looks so clean, and he wants to, you know, he gets your number. And then he says, hey, hi, how are you doing? Speaks Queen's English. He's on his way to the airport. I'll call you when I get to London. And then he calls you from London. He does a video call. You can see his house. I'm like, wow. Then he tells you, oh, you know, I need to see my mom. I want to join her in our fellowship. This one even goes to church. Before you know it, you know, he didn't ask you out, but you are already distracted. And it's not just for ladies. It's both sides of divide. Distraction, hey, is one of Satan's most potent weapons. It works. So for you to be able to defeat distraction, you must eliminate all those variables from your environment. And one of the ways to eliminate those variables is in the place of prayer. So when you are sharing the gospel with somebody and the person is not, for instance, maybe you are sharing the gospel with someone and he's just, I'm with you, and he's watching the TV. Can you just ask him, is it okay if we turn off the TV? Because the devil will use that TV or whatever football match that guy is watching. He's not going to listen to the gospel. So when you see that the word of God is not penetrating, you need to look out. Is there anything around me? Is there anything in the church? Is there anything in the prayer fellowship in your office? Is there a reason why God's word is not moving? It's not having free course. It's not moving easily. You have to identify those things and then deal with them in the place of prayer. Because Paul said, pray for us that the word of God might have free course. Okay, so distraction is one of the reasons why the word of God does not have free course. Number three, the word of God does not have free course because it is easy for the birds to take away the seed of God's word that is sown. Listen to me. If you receive a word, or if you are studying the scriptures, or you are listening to a message that is being preached, or maybe you are listening to me now, and for some reason, it's not making sense to you, This point is for you. The birds, satanic messengers, are standing at the door of your heart and picking the seed of God's word. So it is not the terrible thing about this situation is that by the time they pick out everything that has been put there, you will not even know. Nobody around you will know. You will only find that you've been coming to church for so long without evidence of change. You will find that you've been coming every Sunday, every Tuesday, every Wednesday, on Friday. You don't find you've been coming, but there's no evidence. Yeah, I mean, if you are close to the fire, you should smell smoke. There is no evidence. You don't have any form of restraint. Nothing restrains you in the way of God. You just, live your life the way you live it. So the word of God will never have recourse. If the birds have been able to take away the seed that was sown. So this is a very serious matter. You see, this is a very serious matter. So when we, for those of us who preach or who share the gospel or who try to, encourage other people, please, we need to be very prayerful. It's not as easy as just opening your mouth and trying to share the gospel. We need to be very prayerful. And you need to pray very, very sincerely and deeply from your heart. Number four. Why the word of God must have free course is because the word of God is the only weapon. It is the only instrument that can change a man's life. The word of God is the only instrument that can change a man's life. And it's so amazing that, not two pastors or not two preachers are the same. But isn't it so amazing that God didn't leave the interpretation of the Bible to one man? The book is in your hands. Some of you even have it like now. I'm reading it from my phone. You can actually just pick up the book and read it. In fact, read any aspect that you like. The Word of God always has something to say. The Word of God always has a level of benefit to provide. Listen, the Word of God is the only instrument that is guaranteed by heaven to bring change into a man's life. In fact, the anointing of the Holy Spirit is not actually doesn't operate fully without the Word of God. Because if you read, I think it's 1 John 2. Let me see if I can get that. 1 John 2, 20. What did John say here? John said, he said, you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. That means one of the primary functions of the unction, of the anointing, is to help us know God's mind, to know all things. What is God saying about this particular matter? God has an opinion about everything. God is not just interested in what you are saying or doing because it feels good. Okay? God has an opinion. Okay? So God's word can change lives. And you need to let people know that, look, if you sit with this word, you are going to come back with a testimony. So, and you see, you also need to take stock of every time that you have also paid attention to God's word and your life was changed. These things are very, because the truth of the matter, if you're asking someone to, study the word, the person should be able to see some fruit, evidence in your life. For instance, you're having some kind of Bible study with your friend in the office, maybe during your coffee break, and you start sharing something like, wow, did you get this from the Bible? You say, yes, let me show you. And you begin to read 1 John 2:20. You have an unction. There's an anointing from the Holy Ghost, from the Holy One, that makes you know all things. That means it's not just restricted to knowing the Word of God. It gives you insight into things that are beyond you, science, business, finance. You have an insight. But when you begin, you pray in the Spirit, and you connect very deeply into your heart. You can see through so many things that will not be visible to others. When you tell people what the Word of God can do in their lives, what it can do for them, I think they'll probably want to just pick it and read. And if they are not getting the result, Then they will go to God and say, I want to know God's word the way Femi does. I want to know God's word the way my sister does. You know, because they can see that there's something about this particular brother. Every time he speaks from the word of God, it is very profound. It has a unique impact. There's something about it that just has a good flavor. And people like that. People may not listen to to whatever you say, but people can identify with a testimony. People can identify with a changed life. People can identify with a change of story. People can identify with how something has changed your life. I mean, just like you buy a phone and you tell people about it. Like people now, some people don't even have the iPhone 13, but they already have it in their dream. Some people are dreaming about it. They've bought it in their dream. But they know there's no way on earth they are going to have that kind of phone on earth. So they dream about it. So I'm just saying this is a very, very basic but very, very profound. The word of God can change a man's life. And the devil will rather bring a level of distraction so that the word of God will not be proficient enough to bring the change that it requires, that it is required to perform in people's life. Number five. The word of God must have free course because it is the word of God. You see, we are talking about how prayer must precede the word. And what are we saying here? That the word of God is what will take many away from the gates of hell. We must pray that the word of God must have free course because it is the word of God that will take many people away from the gates of hell. The anointing will not take many people away from hell. Falling under the anointing, as good as it sounds, will not take many people away from hell. Having all the books, masters, PhD, professorial, whatever it is, as lofty and as good as it is, and you should get them if you can. Because a lot of people would actually live better lives if they had better education. Okay? So, these things are very, very serious. If people know God's provision, if people know God's provision for salvation, if people know what God is, what God has provided about a way of escape for them, if people know that God has provided for their escape, that they don't have to die, they don't have to perish, they can live a fulfilled life here and end up in God's presence when they die. If people know that, I assure you, a lot of people will want to embrace it. But the devil will always want to bring some form of distraction, confusion. When you try to tell people, look, you need to take your relationship with God seriously, they'll tell you, oh, no, I go to church. Oh, people begin to look for all kinds of reasons to justify, people want to justify why they think that they are good Christians. Okay? But what does God's word say? What are we saying here? If we preach the word of God, and if we are able to pray through, and we are able to pray for people, don't just talk. We need to learn how to pray. You are in the traffic, just pray in your mind. You need to learn how to pray in your mind. You need to learn how to pray in tongues under your breath. You need to learn how to pray everywhere. The scripture says we should lift up our hands everywhere. Pray in the restroom. You need to learn how to pray while you are cooking. You need to learn how to talk in tongues, even when you are in a meeting and you just mute your mic. And all those things have a way of adding up and coming together. And it is in the same vein that we are saying that if we do not pray for people, the word of God will not become so effective to pull away many people from the gates of hell. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So as many of you that are out there and you are sharing the gospel, you are when you invite people to church, you need to pray for them that, Father, I've asked my friend to come to church. Please let there be a word. Let your word get through to that person. Let your word change this person's life. Let your word, this person is not saved. This person needs to be healed. This person, you pray for the person. And you pray for the person like it really means something to you. Listen, the word of God and prayer, they are two sides of a coin. For you to get maximum impact, for you to get all the results you want, optimal performance, they must go together. That's why you find a lot of people, they know a lot of Bible, they know a lot of scriptures, but they are not getting the result they are looking for. You also have some people on the other side. They can pray and pray and pray and pray, but their spirit is hungry. Their spirit is empty. They do not have the word of God in their spirit. And then they say, oh, the devil must be very powerful. But if they had picked the word of God and they have read, they would have seen what the word of God said about the enemy. So if we want to pull a lot of people out of here, then we need to prayerfully engage with the word. So it will have free course. There won't be any distractions. Number six, we need to pray that the word of God will have free course, because it is the word of God that will help us become effective in our service to God. It is the word of God that will help us become effective in our service to God. This has nothing to do with whether people tell you thank you or not while you serve God. Listen to me. Serving God is a thing of personal sacrifice. And please, you need to understand what I just said. If you are doing anything for God, whether it's in the area of evangelism, whether it's in the area of inviting people to church and maybe you have to pay for their transport fare, whether it's in the place of sharing the gospel during your coffee break in the office, whether it's in the place of coming to church and serving in one team or the other, the issue of service must encapsulate the element of sacrifice. If you are doing something for God simply because it is convenient for you, I can almost tell you the reward there will not be so heavy. It's just almost the same thing as probably trying to get a first degree or trying to get a third degree. Okay, you can get a first degree in 4 years, but if you want to do a second degree, you need to come back again, maybe 1.5 years. Then you need to come back for another 3 years, at least 3 years, to get a PhD. Okay, so there's always an element of sacrifice. But when you get your PhD, you will never be at the same level of that person in society, technically speaking, you know, with somebody who probably doesn't have one, or somebody who has a certain level of certification in his field, maybe in engineering or professional certification in law, or something in IT, or, you know, depending on whatever field you are in. Every investment, every service, everything you give that takes the tone of sacrifice will always deliver more. Okay, but if people do not have the word of God in their heart, if the word of God is being misconstrued, if people think that by serving in church or by that they are helping the pastor, or they think that by leading souls to Christ, they are helping somebody, then there's something blocking the reward and the imposed mindset of that person. We need to pray for such people. We need to pray for such people. I mean, I had opportunity to somewhere in Ikeja today. And then there was a particular gadget we were trying to fix. And I said to the technician, I said, when you open this machine, I want you to check this particular, I don't know where it is, but check for this particular IC, you know, on this device. And the person said, we need to troubleshoot everywhere. I said, look, I have to be in church this evening. Go straight to this particular panel. Look for this thing. Now, I'm not a sound engineer. I only told him what I felt I needed to tell him. It's now his own job as an engineer to try to put some flesh to it. And after he went back and forth, after like 1.5 hours, he said, you know what, we just found the problem. And I said, what's the problem? He said, it's the particular IC you talked about. I said, now, do you believe what I said to you? So he said, okay, so how do you know? Then I said, look, I see visions. It is my job to see the vision. It is your own job to confirm it and fix this gadget and get it working. The next question the guy asked me is, so, sorry, where is your church? And I told him, I said, my church is at Mela. He said, I know the church. He said, I know the church. He said, the Beatty bus stop. He said, I know the church. I said, can you imagine a random stranger? But what did I say to him? I said, I just, you know, saw it in a short vision in my heart that, check this thing. The guy was so mesmerized. I wasn't even impressed. Number one, I'm not a technician. Number two, I mean, it doesn't even matter if I was right or wrong. The guy said, boy, you see me in your church on Sunday. I say, I'm already waiting for you. And we laughed. You see, that gentle impression that was made. I was able to witness to him, even though what we were doing had nothing to do with witnessing to him. Okay? So it's a sacrifice. It's a service. And I could have just gotten there, got the job done, and I would have walked out. Okay? This evening, the person who brought me back to church this evening, the moment he dropped me, I said, oh, look at that building over there. That's my office and that's my church. Don't you think, would you like to come on Sunday? He said, I really like you. I know this place. I'll come. He said, hope you will give me food if I come. I said, why not? Just let me see your face. And we laughed and he left. There must always be a tone of sacrifice. I didn't have to do it. But that is what it requires. Every opportunity to sow a seed, never pass it up. Every opportunity to sow a seed, never pass it up. It is the word of God that makes it possible for a believer to be effective in his service. It is the word of God that makes it possible. So everything that gives you excuses, everything that makes it convenient for you to explain away what you know in your heart you should be doing. Oh, nobody appreciates, nobody say thank you. Nobody's going to say thank you. But when you see him on that day, he's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. He won't say it to another person. He will keep that thank you for you. Praise God. So we are not doing it for man. But if you don't have the right perspective, that is where the element of prayer comes in. We begin to pray that the word of God in that aspect will begin to have free course in your life. Number 7, we must pray that the word of God must have free course because it is the word of God that helps determine Christian conduct in every situation. It is the word of God that helps us know how we should behave in every situation. If the word of God does not have free course in our lives, you will find that in some case, you pull off your shirt and you say, today, I'm a Christian, but I'm going to show you the kind of stuff I'm made of. Or you begin to use, some people use the F word when they're upset. Some people use the S word. Some people have all kind of nice and insulting ways to describe something, you see. But it is the word of God that has been planted in our heart that is germinating, that helps us know what kind of behavior we should exhibit. So sometimes you really want to say something and the Lord just impresses you, look, let it go, let it go. And you walk away. Some other time he tells you, address it. There is no way we can make a better impression than when we are led by the Holy Spirit. And that only happens when the word of God has free course to move and to operate in every aspect of our life. Number 8, we must pray that the word of God should have free course because the result that the word of God will produce will vary amongst believers. Listen to me. As I'm speaking now, there is nobody, even if you are a newborn, if you gave your life to Christ today, you can understand this message I'm preaching. Some people pride themselves in being difficult. That's not my goal here. My goal is for me to communicate this message in such a way that everybody can, you know, understand it and know what to do with the message. Listen to me. When the word of God, the seed of God's word, was sown into the good soil, it produced 30, 60, and 100. The word of God will produce different results. That is why we must pray. That the word of God, we have free course. We must pray. We must pray. We must pray. We must pray that the word of God must have free course. We must pray that the word of God must have free course. If not, you may find that you are dealing with cases of unfruitfulness or spiritual barrenness. You will find that people are not living up to their spiritual potential despite heavy investments by the Holy Spirit. You need to pray for yourself. It's not just a prayer you pray for people. These are prayers you pray for yourself. Okay? You need to pray so that the word of God will produce the kind of result that will be close to 100%. This is also important. This is also important. And listen to me. There are many people that God wants to use in certain powerful ways, but he will not do it because they don't have enough fruit in their life to sustain that level. So if God wants to give you 100 million, that is not his problem. But if you have to keep using your calculator to check what the exact tithe is, then there might be a problem. Or if you need to start avoiding people, you don't want to pick their cause because you know they are going to talk about money. Then God begins to look at that matter again. That, okay, this guy, we want to give him more 100 million, but he's not matured for it. So the word of God must produce fruit such that over a period of time, when people see you, they can say, wow, this particular sister, she's exhibiting Christ traits. It's not going to happen overnight. You move from 0 to 5 to 10 to 20 to 30. But what God told us was that there are three benchmarks of fruitfulness. One is 30, one is 60, one is 100. You don't really want to be in the 30. You don't really, most, if you do well, you might be in 60. But we can all aspire for 100. Hallelujah. We can all aspire for 100. So the results will vary. And the results have nothing to do with if you're a shouting person or if you're a quiet person. There are a lot of people who shout about things that they don't even understand. People talk about spiritual levels, spiritual dimensions, that they are not even operating in. But, you know, you just talk. So we are talking about results here. I mean that God looks at you and says, this is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter. And I am pleased with him. That was the verdict that he gave over his son when John baptized him. Okay? But if Christ has not been subjected and learned submission, he would not have been able to humble himself before John the Baptist, and he would have missed out on God's voice. It is the word of God that will teach you humility. It is the word of God that will teach you to allow others pray for you. There are some people, they don't believe people can pray for them. They don't believe that, they don't believe anybody is at their level. There are people like that, you'll be shocked. They don't say it, but if you observe them, you'll see it. Some of them can't even kneel down to pray. They can't kneel down for people to pray for them. They are thinking, oh, why will I kneel down before a man? It's okay. Number 9. We must pray that the word of God should have free course, because the word of God is the guaranteed document that is given to mankind for their salvation and every aspect of their life. The word of God, Genesis to Revelation, is the authorized document, not the personal opinion of men, not what people feel, not spiritisms, not people telling you how you... If I tell you some of the stuff I have had to listen to recently, I'm just one step short of being annoyed. Things that people say, I listen to the radio most time when I have to drive. And they make it sound like, oh, this is what God said. But it's not in the Bible. And they say the good book. So what is the good book? It's not the good book. It's God's book. The good book, good is subjective to your own definition. God's book means it has a mind of its own. It has a clearly stated opinion. You have to take it at that level or leave it. Okay? So the word of God is authorized covenant and agreement. That's the constitution of the universe. That is, if God comes today, he will not judge anybody based on what his father or his mother said. He will use the word of God, that book in your hand, that Bible that you downloaded on your phone. That is the basis of his conversation with you when he comes. So why not pick that book and read it? Why not? That book is it's like having the questions and the answer together in the exam hall. So why, the book is not there to make you go to hell. It's supposed to help you get 100 over 100 or even get 110. That is God's guaranteed document. So pick it. Why not take a challenge today and start? You can start from the book of Matthew. Or if you feel like you want, start from some of those books in the epistles that are very short. Like some of them have 3 chapters, 4 chapters, 2 chapters. Try before you, as you keep, you know, reading them, just tick them, mark them. Then when you are done in any chapter, try to find out what was the central message or the theme or something that you really enjoyed or that blessed you. Just write it in your note. You'll be shocked how much you've learned in such a short time. The problem is people sometimes want to read the Bible. They go and start from a book that has 60 chapters, or they start from Psalm that has over 150 chapters. And then they get tired along the way. Then they feel frustrated. Start at your level and develop. And please remember that that book is the basis of God's conversation with anybody that has lived on this earth. The Lord will give us wisdom in Jesus' name. Finally, verse 10, 10th point. We need to pray that the word of God will have free course, because it is his word that can make a believer fruitful in every good work. If you want to be fruitful, if you want to be a good servant of God, if you want to be a faithful servant of God, if you want to do your work and finish well, if you want your home to be happy, if you want to live a fulfilled life, you want to live a peaceful life, the scripture says it is the word of God that can make a man fruitful. It is the word of God that can make a man fruitful. So every time I read the word of God concerning how I should treat my wife, and then I begin to practice it, I become fruitful in that aspect. So I can love my wife, not because she's doing anything good to me, but I love her because the word of God says that is what God wants. I can love my husband. It has nothing to do with his height. You may be taller than your husband. It means nothing to God. All these issues, well, I can't imagine someone that is shorter than I am. I can't imagine someone, they are just your personal. It has nothing to do with God. It has nothing to do with God. And God could care less. So I am under mandate to love my wife. You are under mandate to love your spouse. It is as simple as that. So when I read the word of God, how did Jesus show his love for the church? By giving himself for his church. He died for us. He washes us. He continues to use his word to cleanse us, to make us holy, and they make us better. And it is the same thing God wants us to do towards our spouses, towards our wives, towards our husbands. The word of God can be applied to your marriage and you will see results. It can be applied to your finance and you will see results. You study God's word, you read the book of Proverbs, you see a lot about finance. And you just ask yourself, okay, so what do I actually need 4 SIM cards for? Why do I need four or 5 handsets? Why do I need... you just realize there are so many things you carry about that you really don't need. You just realize you actually have too many clothes. You can actually share some of your clothes with people because you are not really wearing them. The word of God makes you fruitful in that aspect. You can check the word of God as it relates to sharing the gospel with lost souls. And you can find God's heart there. And then you begin, I'm going to share the gospel with 3 people every week. And then I bring them to church and encourage them to give their life to Christ. And then the church members can follow up on them and make them established in the faith. The reason why we ask people to come to church is not just about membership. It's so that they will be in a community of people who think like them, so that they don't go back to where they are coming from. Even if somebody has a vision and sees Jesus or the throne of God comes down, if such a person doesn't find himself in a local assembly where he can be taught God's word and where he can be followed up on, that harvest may be lost. So I'm going to stop here, and I want you to please reconsider this message. So on the strength of that word, I pray that the word of the Lord we gain ascendancy in your heart. Everyone that is hearing me now, including the speaker, that the word of God will take a deep root in our hearts. God's word will not be shallow. It will not. The root will no longer be shallow. It will be deep. It will go to every corner of our heart, every corner of our soul. It will go to every corner of our bodies. It will become medicine to our flesh. The word of God will become so thick and so deep that it will become the operating system of our being. In the name of Jesus, that it will produce the results in our spiritual life, in our financial life, in our marital lives, in every area of our lives, that we will not be barren, but we will produce fruit, 30, 60, 100. That of all of us who are connected tonight, none of us will see him on that day, and he will take his face away. But we are going to receive a good report. When we die and we leave this earth, we are going to behold him, and he's going to say, look, Benga, I'm proud of you. Loretta, I'm proud of you. Femi, I'm proud of you. Igotumi, I'm proud of you. James, I'm proud of you. He's going to say things to us because we just did what he wanted. And that's going to be our testimony. That's going to be our testimony. There are a lot of people who bear the name of the Lord, but they don't do what he wants. But as a result of this word, we are going to stand up and we are going to go out in the strength of God, and we are going to love him, we are going to worship him, and we are just going to do what he wants. We are going to make him happy. And when eventually we see him, we are going to hear that most prized, desired statement. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. That will be your testimony. That will be my testimony in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.